here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Yes, yes, good evening, Toronto. This is Radio Basics, CHRY 105.5. We are on a new time, new day, actually same time, new day, Monday nights. We got a big show ahead tonight. We got, we're going to be playing Kings of Kush, collabo by Waleed Abdulhamid and Bona Mohammed. We're going to be playing an interview with American political prisoner and prolific journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. Interviewed by Minister of Information, JR, of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. We're going to be following that up with an interview we're going to be doing here live there in the studio with Fred Hampton Jr., Chairman of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. He's going to be talking about the recent election, or as the POCC likes to call it, selection of Barack Obama and what's really up in the United States. At the end of our show, we're going to be talking to a community leader and spokesperson of the Algonquin community, Barrier Lake, Norman Machawan, and he's going to be talking about the Algonquin struggle out there for the cultural, economic, and political rights of the indigenous people of Barrier Lake, and how the government of Canada has been denying the Algonquin people of those rights. And also on the show with us tonight, we have Nadine from Basics Community Newsletter. How are you, Nadine?
Good. How's it going, everyone?
Thanks a lot for being on the show with us here, Nadine, tonight.
So I just wanted to remind everyone, as Steve said, Radio Basics is switching to a new day, Monday, from 8 to 9 p.m., and it'll be a weekly slot. You guys liked us so much that CHRY asked Radio Basics to come on every week instead of every other week, and now we'll be on every day, every Monday, sorry, from 8 to 9 p.m., so tune in. Also, if you want more information, and if you want to find articles or the archive of the previous radio shows, please visit our website at basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com. And if you're interested in any of the campaigns that Basics has been working on, including police brutality, gentrification, or anything else, please email us at basics.canada@gmail.com. I'm going to hand it over to you, Steve, now so we can listen to some great vibes from the Kush, the Kings of Kush.
Kings of Kush. I guess this is a new collabo. From Waleed Abdulhamid and Bona Mohammed. Waleed Abdulhamid, for those who don't already know his music, he's an incredible Sudanese Canadian musician right here from Toronto. He's an incredible singer, guitarist. People may know him from his work in Radio Nomad, or what's his other band?
Waleed Kush and Radio Nomad. So that's, he has right, a jazz ensemble, and he also does work with a really innovative group called Radio Nomad.
Mm-hmm. And you can usually find them performing on Friday nights, some Friday nights at the Train Studio, which is on Bathurst, north of Bloor, at 964 Bathurst. And in fact, Waleed Kush and the African jazz ensemble is going to be performing this Friday night, Friday, November 28th, and I believe the show starts around 9 p.m. People should check that out. And then there's the other half of Kings of Kush, Bona Mohammed. I know Bona Mohammed, I mean, from his work. I mean, just in the community, he's been an incredible spoken word artist. An incredibly, I don't know how to call him, animated character.
Very animated character and an amazing performer. So I'm really looking forward to hearing these tracks, and maybe we should get started.
Are you just telling me I should get started with the music?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyways, all right. This is Kings of Kush. This is their debut album, Kings of Kush Sampler. This is the track Now.
Blood, guts, pain, death, love, hate, flame, chest, kids, life, chance, none, boy, girl, her, son, we, they, us, him, her, his, plus, them, month, day, year, time, vow, burn, down, rhyme, speak, tell, yell, cry, doom, story, ours, dies, fresh, boat, land, lost, home, where, land, cross, dough, fair, cab, cost, job, fair, moves, toss, breath, air, stress, hair, plus, fear, death, near, one, tear, shift, gear, gone, clear, lost, steer, wish, chance, might, hope, pray, five times, don't, we, smoke, fire, won't, toke, choke, coke, broke, lies, youth, cops, shoot, point, blank, click, clack, black, dead, mom, weeps, no, pay, 2 weeks, march, signs, peace, truth, late, justice, stays, mute, talk, done, jails, packed, yellow, red, brown, black, fist, finger, cuffs, run, dumb, free, free, dumb, want, need, now, peace, knees, begged, hands, squeezed, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1.
Radio Basics, we're back. That was Now by Kings of Kush, a new collab by Waleed Abdul Hamid and Bono Muhammad. Bono Muhammad, who you heard for the most part over that track, is a spoken word artist here in Toronto, clearly moving into new art forms, doing his collab with Waleed Abdul Hamid. I'm sorry, Nadine. You want to introduce the next song?
Yeah, the next track is also an awesome vibe, and it's called... Are we ready to go?
We're ready to go.
Heart of the Horn. And I think that there is an excerpt from Buna's Mami, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I read that on the back of the album. So not only is this Buna Muhammad and Waleed Abdul Hamid, but Buna's mom is on this track. Represent.
Right, you love bones. It's hard on the motherland. Shot by your brother.
Radio Basics, we're back. That was Kings of Kush, Heart of the Horn, Waleed Abdul Hamid and Bona Muhammad holding down the spirit of East Africa, undivided, despite what the imperialists might like to see. That is holding it down in Eastern
long
Africa.
Long live Oromia!
Long live Oromia, long live Sudan, despite what countries like Canada, US, and Britain and all the other imperialists would like to do to that country, China included. Unfortunately, a big new imperialist power on the scene. We're going to a commercial. We're going to be back.
This is the station that breaks the hits before they're hits. CHRY 105.5 FM, a proud supporter of independent music.
And we're back with Radio Basics, Steve and Nadine in the house. Right now we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to be talking about what's happening south of our border. I'm sure all of you know, you can't ignore it, about the recent election, or as the Prisoners of Conscience Committee like to call it, selection of the next president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to be speaking to a very, very prominent militant activist from Chicago later on in the show about his thoughts on the election or selection, and that is Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. of the POCC, the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. But first, we're going to play you a very, very insightful interview that was conducted by the POCC's Minister of Information, JR, who himself is a former political prisoner. He's going to be interviewing political prisoner on death row, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is also a very prolific journalist and someone who really has quite a lot of insight on recent events in the United States of America. So listen up and hear what Mumia has to say on this very, very important subject.
You are listening to POCC Black Report Radio with the Minister of Information, J.R. Days ago, Barack Obama was selected to be the first black president of the United States, one of the most powerful jobs on the planet. Today on the Block Report, we are going to Pennsylvania's death row to talk to former Black Panther, prolific journalist, and political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal, about his opinions on the recent happenings.
Hey, what's going on, Moo?
What's happening, black man?
Man, I'm good. How are you under the circumstances?
Hey, look, you know, another day in hell.
I hear it. So I just had a few questions in regards to the selections. We could just jump right in. As of January 10th, 2009, Barack Obama will be the president of the United States. What is your opinion on this outcome?
I'm not surprised. I am surprised by the scope of it. And I think the scope speaks of a kind of hunger in many American hearts. I think it's also a referendum on the last four and then the four before of the Bush regime. You know, sitting president now, George W. Bush, really, really alienated a good number of people all across all sectors of American life. And I think that all the stars aligned for Barack Obama. And that's why I think he resisted running, say, 4 years from now, as opposed to 2008.
Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. equated Barack Obama becoming president of the United States to the South African presidency of Nelson Mandela, where nothing changed but the color of white power's representative. What is your assessment of this comparison?
Well, unfortunately, I think his comparison may prove quite apt. There is a relatively new book going around called The Incognegro, and it's written by a younger man named Frank B. Wilderson. Frank B. Wilderson is an English professor, a poet, a writer, of course. But he spent several years in South Africa as a member of the ANC. So he gives kind of an inside flavor of what the presidency of Nelson Mandela actually meant to members of the ANC, members of the youth wing, member of the armed wing, and also for the poor, you know, in South Africa. Needless to say, for millions of people in South Africa, they're living in poverty. They're living in ghettos by any other name. Some still don't have running water, don't have electricity. Millions don't have decent housing. But the rich who were rich before the change of government are richer after the change of government. And what has happened is what South Africa fought for many years was to create what they called a quote-unquote colored buffer zone between the masses of the people and the very rich. Now they have that buffer zone. It's just blacks, you see. And so the class differentiation between then and now is very, very stark.
How do you think the international community will respond to U.S. imperialism and blackface?
I think if what we are seeing on TV is any true indication, they will celebrate. They will celebrate. And, you know, I guess what I should have said also and added to your prior point and question was that it doesn't depend on them. It depends on us. If people organize, they can make change, but they can't kind of lay down and say, well, you know.
This call is from the State Correctional Institution at Green and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Well, because of this election, we's free now. You know, there's still millions of, you know, people living in hells in America right now, living far worse now than they were, say, a year ago. You know, the hardest hit communities for foreclosures were African Americans and Latinos because they were suckered into those exploding mortgage, the ARMs, the adjustable rate mortgages, with balloon payments and so forth. Look at the incarceration rate. But, you know, then look at education. I mean, after all of this progress, progress happens on a political level. It's symbolic, you see. But on a daily lived level, where most of us are, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1970, 71. You know, you can go to any black community. You can go to Philadelphia. You can go to Roxbury. You can go to Pittsburgh. And, you know, the schools are blacker than ever. And the education, frankly, for the young generation is worse now than it was in the 70s. You know, under a segregated system, what you had all across black America were extremely well-educated teachers. They were there because they could not work in white universities or in white schools. You had black schools in the South where many of the teachers had master's degrees or PhDs. They would go up north, get their education, come back south, but they couldn't work in a public school system. They could only work in black schools. You have nothing close to that now. You know, now people run away from the public schools. Now, charter school is the way the state has been pushing people. They're making it into a private business. You remember Bush's famous words from several years ago. This is an ownership society. Well, that's what they tried to do. And if you didn't have capital, if you didn't own anything, well, you were on your own. And now we see where that's got us.
Most voters in the United States have no knowledge of the Electoral College or its function. Can you explain to us what it is?
Well, it's really a device placed into the Constitution that allows a small group of people, they call it an Electoral College, it's not a real college, but a small group of people called electors, who actually cast the formal votes for who shall be president and vice president. I mean, it may surprise people, but in point of fact, people did not vote for Barack Obama or John McCain. They voted for electors who will decide when they gather together who will receive the delegates among those electors. They do the actual voting. And this was a device put in to the Constitution so that America didn't get too much direct democracy.
Some people in the revolutionary community feel that Obama being president is a setback because it will allow the establishment to deny racism still exists in America. But the late, great Kwame Nkrumah, the first president of Ghana, said that neocolonialism is the last stage of capitalism. What are your thoughts on the issue?
I would refer to what I said above and earlier, that people can't take shortcuts to organize. Well, even with the Obama victory, if you recall the Republican convention after the Democratic convention, one of the best mocking lines that they used, and I remember specifically the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, they joked about Obama being a community organizer. Well, in point of fact, he was a community organizer. And he used those skills to beat the hell out of anybody who was his opponent. No one expected him. I mean, I remember in November 2007, no one expected him to beat Hillary Clinton. Hillary was going to be the next Democratic nominee. No one expected this guy to beat him. And When you looked at the Republican convention and how the polls changed after it, everybody expected John McCain to be a stronger candidate coming out of the convention. But this was a community organizer. So people who call themselves revolutionaries, who are organizers and activists and agitators, take the lesson about what community organizing really is. That's talking to people, organizing people, and making change. I mean, that's where change really happens. You know, talking to real people, changing their minds, bringing them over, and organizing.
This call is from the State Correctional Institution at Green and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Well, Kwame Ture used to say every time he spoke to people, at least three times he would say, you must organize, organize, organize. I mean, he would beat that drum until, you know, it was deeply embedded in consciousness. He understood that unless people understood how to organize and then did that, then there will be no change. I'm not just talking about political change. I'm talking about real social change. So our people need to organize, organize, organize.
If you were allowed to vote, would you have voted? Why or why not?
I probably would have. I mean, my mother was a judge of elections, and I voted from when I was very young, so I did have that habit. There were several times I didn't, but, you know, usually it was a deeply embedded habit. I would probably have voted for Cynthia McKinney, who represented a true radical alternative. I mean, here was a black woman who stood up very strong in Congress against the Iraq War and against the Patriot Act and against a lot of the repressive measures that her fellow Democrats voted for. Well, because she stood up, she was isolated by the Democratic Party. And really, I think she suffered two electoral defeats because she was so outspoken. It was the Green Party that was a fit for her. And, you know, this is a black woman. I mean, if a black man is progress, a black woman is real progress. But again, I mean, organize, organize.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
Organize. We can't understate the importance of organizing.
Definitely, man. Well, thank you for doing the interview. And
thank you, Brother JR.
You know, just let us know what's needed on our end that can contribute, man. And we with it, man. We there.
Organize, organize.
No doubt.
Organize.
You were just listening to the voice of political prisoner and prolific journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal as we discussed the presidential selection of Barack Obama and its impact on the planet. On the Block Report with the Minister of Information, JR. If you would like to hear more from Mumia, you can go to prisonradio.net. And if you would like to hear more from The Block Report, you can hit up www.blockreportradio.com. What's the call? Free them all. We out.
Organize, organize, organize. Those are wise words and words to be heeded. That gave us a lot to think about, and we thank Mumia Abu-Jamal for his great insight and Minister of Information, JR, for conducting such an incredible interview. We're now going to hear one more song from the Kings of Kush. Let's play Boogeyman, Steve. And we're back. That was awesome. Now we're going to switch gears again to a more serious topic, and we're going to be hearing from Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is an incredible inspiration. He is from Chicago, and this past summer when I was down there, he taught me a lot about where it's at, what's going on, what's really happening in the streets of Chicago, and what's happening in the United States of America. So after hearing from Mumia Abu-Jamal, who placed the selection of Barack Obama in the larger context, I'm going to be asking Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. a little bit about the real Barack Obama, the one who's from Chicago as well, and the one who doesn't really come from the people as Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. does. So I'd like to welcome Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. to Radio Basics. Welcome, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.
Revolutionary appreciation for having me on. Clenched fist salute to you as well as to the listeners.
Thanks so much. So first I wanted to ask you just your general thoughts on Barack Hussein Obama's win, what you think about it.
Because my father, Chairman Fred, used to say, you know, nothing is all good, ain't nothing all bad. So it's some contradictions that, you know, that we can see at the time, you know, to expose some different issues in the community. I'm saying it's not a number of importance, but just a few things that come to my mind. One is this class contradiction. A lot of people talking about this attempt to put black people as a whole. It's just some monolithic, you know, one piece. But the reality is, a lot of people say, "Well, man, they talk about forces such as that, Barack, you know, the primitive petty bourgeoisie. It's something that we have to deal with. You know what I'm saying? And whenever we talk about the discussion of struggle, and that is a class contradiction. Mm-hmm. And also, a lot of people say, you know, would he be good for America? And that may be the case, because America itself has, just even with the discussion of a Barack Obama running, American government has benefited in a number of ways. One being just the image, the facade, the front. Because as Malcolm X stated, that America's democracy is an hypocrisy. And under the regime of George W. Bush, it had got to the point that the whole world became very clear what was going down inside America. So this whole facade, this front, with Barack Obama running, and now being a president-elect or elect, whatever the case, you know, time will tell. We really went down. It serves in this interest again to put forward this front that, and it also sets back a conscience that had got to the point in the last 2004 election, the American populace, that became very clear that America itself doesn't even have free elections. You know, people have became very clear about such issues, such contradictions as the Electoral College and other contradictions that America goes around the world and, you know, challenges China and Iraq and other places, saying that they don't have free elections, something that America itself doesn't even have. But just with this whole discussion about Barack Obama, it has got the people again, you know, saying to fall prey into this whole facade, chasing this American dream. Back to their class issue. The reality is us, the people that I represent, the masses down here in the valley, not the mountaintop, down here in the valley. Mm-hmm. We still dealing with, you know what I'm saying, rough and tough issues, you know what I'm saying? People talking about this whole, about the economic recession. Shit, we go through this every day, you know what I'm saying? We on a day-to-day basis, we dealing with cases of political prisoners every day, cases of police terrorism every day. And people say, would America benefit? We say America itself might benefit, but what's good for the hunter is not good for the hunted. And we don't say the victims of America, we still going through horror conditions on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you. You talked about the class contradictions and the fact that Barack Obama is not a representative of the people. Of course, we know that he himself is also from Chicago, just like yourself, but from a very, very different Chicago. So I was wondering if you could expand a bit on the current conditions and the current situation in Chicago. I know that when I was there last, police brutality was at its height, police terrorism was at its height, people were suffering, we've got the economic crisis right now. How are people on the ground in Chicago dealing with this, and how do they see the election or the selection of Barack Obama?
We had mobilized the forces to the point that this past May, that United Nations rapporteur had came in, and we had did a groundbreaking move where we had our Minister of Defense, Aaron Patterson, who was a political prisoner, who was tortured in May of 1986 right here in Chicago. Aaron Patterson, who got out after doing 17 years, was re-snatched up, really based under the powerful Daley machine. I see the powerful Daley machine that being the mayor of Chicago, whose his father, Richard Daley Sr., was mayor of Chicago when my father, Chairman Fred, was assassinated December 4th, 1969. We had got to the point where the United Nations even had identified Chicago as the torture capital of the country. And Aaron Patterson, you know, one of the most vocal victims of the torture, testified from the federal prison, you know, about the atrocities that he was subjected to. And for us to get to that stage in the game, to expose right in a time when Chicago was fighting to win to get the Olympics in 2016, and the plus of this whole facade, in particular this city, a city which George W. Bush, the present president of the U.S., refers to daily as the most powerful mayor in the country. And this is also a mayor who we had exposed, had against the ropes and exposed so many contradictions with Obama about the whole torture. The fact that this mayor Daley, he was a state's attorney when these torture tactics were implemented. And Obama had kissed, literally kissed the ring of Daley, had supported and backed Daley in his last campaign. So Kenneth, if you can, we can correlate it to like, another bad point about this thing is, we look back during the de Klerk regime, prior to Mandela being, occupied Tanzania, being president in occupied Tanzania, South Africa, on the international stage, the whole world had all eyes on Africa. They couldn't even sell a hamburger about Africa. The people were very clear what was going down. Mm-hmm. However, when this black face, this front was put forward, people became under pressure. Everything was cool, and that's what we have been experiencing so far. Thus far, the night of Barack Obama had won the presidency, there on the west side of Chicago alone, we have 34 counts of police literally kicking through people's doors, beating them down that same very night. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So these atrocities still going down.
So all of this happening in Chicago under the watchful eye of Barack Obama, that is disgusting. I'm going to pass it over to Steve to ask you one final question.
Though I suppose not surprising, I know one of the issues that was reiterated time and time again in the interview of Minister of Information JR with Mumia Abu-Jamal is that Barack Obama has not made promises to the black and the working class people of America. So it's not about him selling the people out. It's that he hasn't even made promises in the first place. So you know what? I don't want to let this dominate the terms of our debate. We're really happy to have you on the show here tonight. So I want to talk about what you and your organization are doing. I want to talk about the positive vision, about what we got to do, how we got to organize to make our world a better place, to make our society a better place, and take power for the people. So, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., tell us a little bit about the Prisoners of Conscience Committee and the work that you guys are doing.
The Prisoners of Conscience Committee is a revolutionary organization that was literally birthed from high enemy lines. And I see that term mean inside the concentration camps. We've taken a number of different campaigns. One, we have an African anti-terrorism bill that addresses the terrorism that goes on in our community on a day-to-day basis. As we say on a continuous basis, that every day is September 11th for us in our communities. Mm-hmm. I just got back in from New York today, doing an event for commemorating the life of Brother Larry Davis, who was assassinated inside New York prisons, who resisted against the police in New York. And as I mentioned earlier, the case about Minister of Defense Aaron Patterson is the case that we move forward. And as I said initially in the interview, everything, nothing is all good, nothing is all bad. I think this is a necessary stage that we got to go through as a people. You know, the whole, I believe it was Kwame Nkrumah, or it might have been Amilcar Cabral, but they said neocolonialism is the last stage of capitalism. Mm-hmm. So the people must go through these are necessary stages where people got to go through white power disguised and black faces, white power disguised and brown faces, and to come to the conclusion that anybody going to save us but us, and we must draw the lines, you know what I'm saying, for the lines of demarcation, as Minister U.E.P. Newton said, the lines between the people who works in the interest of the people who works in the interest of the state.
Thank you so much, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. As always, we learned so much from speaking with you, and on that note, I'm going to have to end our interview, but hopefully we'll speak soon again.
Revolutionary regards, Chairman.
Thank you, Revolutionary. Appreciate it. Don't forget December 4th, it's International Revolutionary Day. 12 o'clock Chicago time, wherever you at, fist in there. Say, long live Pierce, deputy chairman, friend, defense of Demar Clark. You can kill a revolutionary, but you cannot kill a revolution.
For real. All power to the people.
All power to the people.
Radio Basics, we're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. We're back. I just wanted to remind you once again that Radio Basics is now on Mondays every single week because of your love and support from 8 to 9 p.m. And I'm going to turn it over to Steve, who's going to be talking to us a little bit about the situation now in the Algonquin community of Barrier Lake. Things aren't going so well over there right now for the people. There have been many injustices meted out to them, and I can't wait to hear a little bit more about that from Steve and their spokesman, Norman.
Some 5 hours northwest of Montreal lies the Algonquin First Nations at Barrier Lake Reserve. The 59-acre reserve was created in 1961 by the Canadian government without the consultation of the community's customary chief and council. While the community once consisted of more than 17,000 acres of land, and with plentiful lumber resources, millions of dollars of hydroelectricity extracted every year from the reserve, and as well as many other resources, the Algonquins of this region suffer and endure terrible living conditions year after year. After years of protests and blockades, the Canadian and Quebec governments eventually negotiated the Trilateral Agreement of 1991, which promised revenue sharing, sustainable development, and measures for the protection of the Algonquins' traditional way of life in the face of the destructive developmental policies of the government and big companies. Just before the planned implementation of the Trilateral Commission in 2001, Canada's Indian Affairs Minister Robert Nault pulled out of the agreement, and the colonial government of Canada has continued to refuse to share revenues long being extracted from Algonquin land. Fast forward to March 2008, this year, Indian Affairs Minister Chuck Strahl deposed the acting chief of the community, Benjamin Nottoway, and imposed its minority faction it favored as the new leadership. Yet, the tribal council representing the Algonquin First Nations of Barrier Lake, Wolf Lake, and Temiskaming continues to recognize and work with deposed chief Nottoway and his council. The Algonquins of Barrier Lake continue their efforts to get Indian Affairs and the Canadian government to uphold the law and recognize the community's customary governance code, as well as to respect their own law and their own agreements, the Trilateral Agreement. Among Barrier Lake's list of demands currently of the Canadian government includes that the government of Canada agree to respect the outcome of the new leadership reselection process with outside observers and recognize the resulting customary chief and council and cease all interference in internal governments of Barrier Lake, that the government of Canada agree to immediate incorporation of Algonquin language and culture programs in the primary school curriculum, and that the government of Canada honor signed agreements of Barrier Lake, including the Trilateral Agreement. This, among other demands that are being made of the Canadian and Quebec governments by the Algonquin peoples of Barrier Lake. We have with us on the line tonight Norman Machawan, who is a community spokesperson for the struggle out there. Norman, are you on the line with us?
Yes.
Thank you for being with us here tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, I just gave a bit of the context. I mean, just the surface, I suppose, of what's been happening there. But
you have 1 minute remaining.
Oh, I don't know about that. Sorry, that's our calling card. I may have to call you back, Norman. But tell us, please, what is happening at Barrier Lake right now?
Right now, the community is back in its community after being pushed into the community by the SQ riot. We had set up a blockade there a couple days ago on the Highway 117 to try and pressure the governments to honor the agreements that they've signed with us. And, the response we got was, SQ riots instead of negotiators to deal fairly with our community. So, because the Quebec and the Canada and Quebec government have mistreated our community for many years, not dealing in good faith. They walked away from the Trilateral Agreement and...
And...
Sorry about that, guys. We're going to have to take a short break. We're going to listen to a little bit more Kings of Kush. See you in a bit.
I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown. I still talk about when I grow up. grow up, grow up, fuck, 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 fuck. When I grow up, I wanna throw up the peace sign. Leaving all BS and stress behind. Cause I've been on this earth, but I'm in it now. With my town haters like plants, cause they grow wild. Okay, now half of you might say I'm lame. Other half probably didn't take the time to get my name. Mr. B double O went to the double A. Last name is the prophet that my people love to praise. Always straight like an arrow, call me a pharaoh. Tut in my strut when I cut, brother, what? Sit back, watch a king live, no Larry. Smooth talking Aries, is he ill?
Harry.
So feel me, deal me, who? Watch me do what I do with no crew. Cause I roll solo like Hanzo. Plus I ain't a hater, got colors like a painter. But I love my sisters black like Darth Vader. No lie, word up, I'm kinda shy. Doing time at Rye High, what's the verb in your eye? I never thought I would make it. Came in this world butt naked, and I'm still kicking. Still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
Already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
Already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
Already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up. When I grow up, grow up, grow up, fuck, 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 fuck. When I grow up, yo, I never wanna die. Be kicking ill rhymes today, age of 99. I'm fine, how you doing? What's the dealio? Used to stay up just to catch Arsenio. Playing Nintendo 007, yo. I can see straight through you like a window. Indonesia, caught amnesia. Anytime police saying I look familiar. Better be cool around them boys in the blue. Cause they can pull a Rodney King out on you. Yo, it's true, what that? Hit me with a spare after lunch so I can hang out. Doing nothing much, just mopping with my posse. But don't let my pop see me getting booked shot by paparazzi. Me and my peeps, couple freaks and some Nazis. Grade 10 math, summer school was the spot be. Funny how you never use math to the block see. Taliban hash in the trees was the bomb G. 10 bucks a bag plus you gotta add delivery. Street life was killing me, but I'm living. I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
Already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
I'm already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown.
I'm already grown.
I still talk about when I grow up. When I grow up, grow up, grow up, fuck, 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 fuck. When I grow up, me, I'll be living lavish. Fams could retire all the times that I manage. Check the status, cause of the bed, I'm the baddest. Life will flow, cause my style is the fattest. But everybody can't be Fidel Castro. So make sure you're an asset and not an asshole. Don't pass the dro, I'm getting high off of life. You can call me your grandmother, cause I'm real nice. Facts of life, learning by 16 twice. And it ain't nothing nice like the Jews did Christ. But you live and learn, plus you earn and burn. Don't squirm, hide off the top like a perm. Loving how I'm living, trying to stay away from prison. Young black male still alive, thanks I'm giving. It's a cold world and you gotta stay warm. So I'll be street dreaming till the days that I'm gone. So until then I'm in it, counting every minute. Chilling like a villain, cause I'm living. Chilling like a villain, cause I'm living. Chilling like a villain, cause I'm living. I still talk about when I grow up, but I'm already grown, already grown.
Radio Basics, we're back. This is Steve, CHRY 105.5. You know, we bought a phone card here so we can have our esteemed and incredible guests come on the radio tonight. And I made 2 phone calls and this card was done. There you go, connection fees. These people are always ripping us off.
But have no fear, you know everybody. I mean? We'll bring that interview with Norman from Barrier Lake to you on one of our future shows. In the meantime, though, we do have something else to speak about. As the end of our show nears, I just wanted to draw your attention to an incredible event that's happening this coming Friday, November 28th, 2008. And it is the Ruckus High School Students Conference for Youth Activism and Anti-Racism. It is going to be an awesome event, and Basics and some members of Basics are going to be participating along with a few other organizations in putting on an amazing workshop. This workshop is going to be about police brutality and other issues facing high school students. Mm-hmm. A coalition has come together called the No Cops Coalition, the newly formed organization.
Newly organized coalition opposed to police in schools.
That's sorry like about
the,
that. I'm
the greatest
really,
acronym ever.
I am really bad with acronyms. But anyways, that coalition is made up of several organizations, and some of the younger people from that coalition are going to be coming out and speaking about their experiences in relation to having cops in their schools. There is going to be a representative from the student school, this amazing high school, which I'm actually volunteering at. A shout out to all the student school students and teachers. This amazing school actually voted unanimously against having cops in their schools, which mm-hmm. is an amazing feat for high school students to achieve.
Mm-hmm. That's an important lesson for high school students out there. I think people have this this sort of fatalistic sentiment that now cops are in the schools, there's nothing that could be done. But what the student school showed us is that youth came together, they stood up, they took a vote amongst themselves, and they are their own authority, and they said, you know what, no, we don't want a cop in our school. And for in that case, it was as simple as that. So, you know, it's a lesson to be learned. It's a lesson that it's got to be shared and popularized, because I don't even know if other students know about that across the city.
Well, we're also going to be having another incredible student speak. You've heard him on air, Kabir Joshi Vijayan. He also goes to a high school that has a cop in it. He's going to be telling us about what him and some of his friends think about that. We're also mm-hmm. going to be hearing from parents and educators in this workshop about having the cops in schools. There aren't too many people who are happy about this. There might be a lot of silent people who haven't spoken up, but there are a few people who are angry. I just want to give you the details of the conference. Registration starts at 9:30 a.m. It's taking place at New College, which is 21 Classic Avenue. That's the University of Toronto, at the corner of Harbord and Wilcox. And the conference itself starts at 10:30 a.m. and runs till 4:30 p.m. So come on out. There's still space. You can register. This is definitely a good excuse to come out and maybe not go to all your classes, but, you know, I'm not encouraging skipping. Although sometimes an event like this could be more useful for a high school student and for educators and for parents. So come on out, guys. I'll see you there.
That's Nadine encouraging all the high school students not to go to school that day and to go to the Ruckus Conference. We just want to remind our listeners that Radio Basics has now moved to a weekly slot here Monday nights, 8 to 9 p.m., same time, different day. Our last Radio Basics show on Wednesday will be this coming Wednesday. Micaiah and Corey will be hosting. And we also encourage people to check out our website at basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com, where you can check out the archive of all of our previous articles, a Basics Community Newsletter. You can also check out an archive of all our recent radio shows with all the incredible guests we had, and a lot of other, you know, information about upcoming events, anything like that.
You can also email us at basics.canada@gmail.com if you want to get involved. We're always looking for people. And with that, I wanted to thank you for having me on this week. Thanks, Steve, for inviting me on.
Thank you for coming on.
And hopefully I'll see you again sometime in the future.
Is that all you got to say?
That's it.
Radio Basics, we're out.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Radio Basics. And there's always a message involved.